Hello and welcome to Between Two Cairns. I'm Yochai.
Hi, I'm Brad.
And today we're going to review Dungeon Module UR1, The Tomb of the Sea Kings. But first, let's answer a question from the mailbag.
Oh, wow. Oh, golly gosh. You ever say stuff like that? You ever say, oh, golly?
Not that particular word.
I think we need to bring back golly. I don't hear enough gollies these days, you know?
Okay.
I hear a lot, you know, I think adults use profanity more than they did when I was a child. I don't remember. I feel like, you know, kids from the 80s and 90s grew up and they're like, you don't want me to swear? Guess what? I love swearing and I'm going to swear all the time. And I'm like, and that's fine. I think we've kind of normalized it. Like you see the F word on bumper stickers all the time and stuff, you know, like just like the way the world is, you know. But I think at some point we're gonna flip again. We're going to go back to golly, you know. Oh, golly. Oh, gosh. You know what I mean?
Okay. Here's how I feel about swearing. You have an entire group of people, namely adults, who swear all the time. But they only swear around other adults. Then you have another group of people, primarily children, who also swear. But they just don't swear around adults. So you have these two separate groups who are both swearing, just not around each other. It's really stupid because...
It's stupid, but... Okay, yeah.
And in the U.S. especially, where swearing has this power... Like, my son got in trouble at school for writing the F word on something, which, by the way, he did beautifully. And I feel like you're just giving it more power. I'm not saying words don't have power. They do. But... swear words have been shown to decrease the amount of pain people say they receive when they are experiencing pain. They're a part of life, and kids should start swearing early and be taught how to swear and when to swear. I do enjoy the odd swear from a child that has not fully figured it out yet, you know? Yeah. Like, they'll use the F word as a particular kind of noun, like, this is a F word or whatever. And I just find that kind of stuff hilarious. My kid swears pretty well, but we have to tell him not to do it at school because he'll get in trouble. Yeah. So my explanation is, you know, you have to act according to the rules of the people that you are around, and that's just called being polite. And I'm not saying I always do that, but it's a good lesson nonetheless.
I just think, like, you know, like, we've got this gift shop near where I live. You know, it's like, you know, it's like quirky gifts, you know, it's candles and tea towels and, you know, that coasters and that kind of jazz. And me and my wife call it the FU store because, like, everything in there is like, not until I've had my effing coffee. Or, you know, it's like everything is like, it's like cute swearing. And it's just like, I don't remember that when I was a kid. It was like, you would never do that. Like, you would never see that. You know, and I feel like,
but that's just a consequence of the age we live in.
I feel like it's tacky. I don't want to see not until I've had my effing coffee on a tea towel. Like, come on. I don't know, man. I think it's ruffling my feathers a little bit. I think my jimmies are rustled over here.
I'm not as much bothered by it. It's more just boring.
It's boring, but I don't know.
So speaking of that though, you know, the English language is really fascinating because it has more words than like every other language. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous amalgamation.
It's great because we've stolen them from all the other
languages. That's right. We've got, you know, mostly German, but then a ton of French, and then we've got Greek and Hebrew and Arabic in there. It's Spanish. It's just a crazy, crazy language.
I think we have 8 words from India, too.
Oh, yeah.
Last I checked, I think there's 8.
I was thinking about that recently.
Can you name any of them? You want to name some of the...
Well, sure. I mean, if you're talking about Sanskrit, we have like Ignis became ignition for fire.
I was talking about like pajamas, you know? It's like there's words like...
Well, naranj, which became orange, which is, you know, oranges, naranja, naranj.
Nah, I'm getting into some etymology.
That has
stuff.
A PIE root. Do you want to? No, well, you want to talk about on. First off, it's etymology. You want to talk about etymology or philology? I am ready to pivot to a etymology podcast right now. What, as
did
you
I
always
say, entomology?
I don't know. This is so dumb.
Does that bug you?
Can I? No. Oh, that's all right. That's not bad.
That was stupid. I regret
that. That's not bad. Okay.
That was stupid.
I was running a game with some people I didn't know very well, really recently, like last...
an RPG game,
yeah,
is that
yes,
right?
Yeah, I ran three games in person last
week. How topical.
Three role-playing experiences. And one of the groups I was playing with I had never played before. It was at this vegan restaurant with the employees there. It was very funny. But
man, that sounds like a dream come true.
Yeah, they didn't give me any of their food. No, it was fine.
I mean,
it was
come on, they got to make a living, man. You're going to do a charity just because you're rolling a little dice at their table? Come on, buy the vegan nachos.
It was after hours, and they were great, really great players. And one of them had this amazing idea. Well, amazing. They came up with something I really liked. So we were talking about this person had a ton of dice. Like he had so many dice. And I said, you have a lot of dice. And then I asked, what's the term for a like large amount of dice? You know, you have terms for different groups of animals, like a murder of crows or a crash of rhinos or whatever. And this person had the best answer. They said, I don't know what it's called, but I call it a problem of dice. Like I have a problem of dice. Like that's
pretty good.
That's the plural form of a lot of dice is a problem of dice. I just thought that was so great. And that's the thing I will say about English that I really appreciate. And I mean, yes, this is true in other languages as well, but English is just so good at saying, I made this, you know, this is mine now. And people just iterate all the time. Much to the consternation of people who are learning English, but I do appreciate that aspect. And it's the same with swearing. You know, you have the kids now saying things like Riz. The person has Riz, which comes from charisma, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Of all words.
Giat or Gaiat. I don't know. I'm reading it. I'm like, I know what it is. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that one. I don't know that one.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's a woman with a large butt.
Oh, I've never heard that one. Anyhow.
I feel like, I don't know if I've ever felt older than just then when I explained that. I feel like I am officially an ancient old man.
I mean, we're both 40-year-olds talking about how the young people talk. It's pretty insane. Let's just get out of this conversation quickly.
It's like my back hurts just like saying those words. I feel like my bones decay.
I'm not kidding. While you were saying that, I stretched my back because it was hurting. Like before you said it. All right, let's move on.
Start the questions. The moot sack. We got a question from the moot sack.
The moot sack.
Let's pull it out.
The moot sack.
That's what we call our mailbag. It's just a cute little name.
We have one question from the moot sack. This comes in from Robert Coleman.
Okay.
Whose name is for some reason in a much bigger font than everyone else in our list here. So it really stands out.
I screwed up that copy paste job. That's
All right. Robert says, hello, Brad.
Let's hear it, whippersnapper. Let's hear your youthful question.
Okay.
Hold on. I got to put my listening cone up to my ear to hear this.
You know, when I was a kid, that's how they listened to my mother's belly in Israel to hear the. My heart.
A big cone.
Yeah, and they thought she would take it. That she would take me to this Druze village in northern Israel, and they would put this like cone on their ears to listen. They couldn't hear my heartbeat because apparently I was so large I had consumed everything around me, and my heartbeat couldn't be heard through it or something. That's what my mom said.
Couldn't find evidence of you having a heart. Can't believe it.
Okay. Robert Coleman asks. Hello, Brad and Yochai. I think both of you usually run the games when you play RPGs, but if you were going to be a player in someone else's game, which system would you want to play? For example, you're attending a convention and can choose to sign up for anything. Please elaborate on reasons why. Thanks and love the show. Robert Coleman.
Ooh, it's fun to be a player, you know?
Is it?
I think, do you not enjoy playing a character in role-playing?
I definitely enjoy it.
Running it?
Uh-huh. Like, I enjoy being a player, but not nearly as much as the GM role.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, let's say there was another GM in my area. I mean, this is the weird thing about people who run games is there's not enough of us, right? By definition. There's one, mm-hmm. one of us for every five of them or something. And I do meet some people, you know, I ran a game for someone recently who I'd never met before who also GMs, and that was cool. And he did a great job as a player. But I often wonder, yeah. like, what do you do if you're all GMs? You just cycle? Like, how do you all have your yeah. own groups? You know, how does that work? Because mm-hmm. I've always been the person who's yeah. just running things. And so that, maybe that's part of the problem is I do like being a player, but I don't really get the opportunity. Except for, as suggested here by Robert, at a convention, which mm-hmm. I definitely have an answer for, but why don't we hear from you first? Do you like being a player, and what circumstances would you find yourself playing as a player, and what games would you look for as to be a player specifically?
Yeah, I do like being a player. I think it's hard to break out of the... It's hard to just kind of be in the moment as a player because I'm thinking of what I would be doing if I was a GM. You know what I mean? It's like going to an open mic. It's like, oh, I'm enjoying hearing these other performers, but really I'm thinking about what I want to do when I get up there, you know? And I don't know. I think it could be good to like recharge the batteries. I think like for me, it's like I've been in times of my life where it's like 50-50. Like I'm running a game and I'm playing in a game. And that's like, I think that's a great mix. But I feel like I always got to have a game running or else I get restless. I get my legs start twitching, you know. But yeah, you know, I love playing. I love being a little guy wandering around, you know, like attacking monsters, you know, with weapons, etc. I don't know. What games would I play? I don't know, man. I just want to play some D&D. Just give me a little dwarf, you know? Give me a stick. Just send me into that dungeon. I don't know. I like... it's not a surprising answer, you know? I want to play, like, you know, Swords and Wizardry or Old School Essentials or something like that, you know?
Okay.
I'm not a complicated person. I do also, though, I think for people with GM inclinations, I think the agency allotted by like a powered by the apocalypse style game can be refreshing too, because you are able to like enact your will on the world a little more than when you're like a dwarf in a hole in an OSR game.
Yeah, I'd agree with
so
that.
I think it would be, I would love to jump into some like short, you know, some very like finite length PBTA games, like Worldwide Wrestling. I think that's powered by the apocalypse, right?
Yes.
I'm not 100%.
Yes.
I'd love to play that. I would love to play that. There's a bunch of games like that that if someone was running it and like wanted me in for a few sessions, heck yeah. That would be a blast. But I don't know. I'm always kind of just looking over the next hill also. Like, I just love RPGs. I love trying them out. I don't know. If someone asks me to play something, I'm down. I don't know. I'll play whatever. Oh, whatever. What do you got? That's what I want. That's what I say. I'll play whatever.
So, right. I do. I'm more, what's the term? I care more about what I'm actually playing just because I have issues with, like, lots of math. Like, I'm never going to play a Pathfinder game. That's just not going to happen. I would play an OSE or BX compatible game. That'd be fine. The Black Hack, I've been a player in those games. I've been a player in Into the Odd.
Yeah.
The original Into the Odd. And
yeah, of course.
I think I would also enjoy, as you, not necessarily a PBTA game, because I feel like I've run my course with those after years and years yeah. of playing them and running them. But Lady Blackbird, I would be mm-hmm. a player in that again. I'd be a player in yeah. Almost any kind of story game, because those are fairly GM neutral. You know, you're all kind of GMing, but I you know, Microscope, Follow,
sure.
Any of those kind of games where I have, you know, The Quiet Year and other related games, Dialect, I'd play all those. I uh-huh. think I would rush to facilitate or play those over a traditional RPG when I'm the player, only because it's just an yeah. interesting experience, you know, and I appreciate that. If I'm going to run, you know, to use your terms, door D&D, I would definitely be a player in a Need to the Odd or a Cairn game or or, you know, Black Hack, something along those lines. I tend to push back against rules heavy games for, you know, for lack of a better term, just because I don't have a lot of bandwidth, and every time you add any kind of, if I have to calculate THACO, I'm sorry. I know how to do it. I don't want to.
I just subtract by 19.
Compare it to the AC and then subtract 10 and then look at the number. It's the lower. No, are you doing descending or ascending? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. It's the same with a lot of older rule sets where it's so simple. You just have to calculate based on look at the fifth level fighter and then look at their saving throws for, against wands. And, you know, it's just, I understand how to do it every time I have to. That's like a 5% brain drain for me. And after three or four of those, it's full on drawdown. I can't go, you know. And so to me, I would rather avoid that. Now, to be fair, the player does a lot less of that when you're just being the player in a game like OSC, which is why I'm fine playing it. I'll just ask the referee to, you do it, you know? And that's just how I am. I've never been diagnosed with dyscalculia. My wife is convinced that's what I have, but I don't care. Like, I just, anytime there's modifiers or complicated math, which is, yes, complicated is a subjective term, I start to glaze out, you know, my eyes glaze over, and I'm not interested in that. So that's my biggest gap, is there's an accessibility.
It does put a gate, you know, between, understanding and, you know, I get it.
Like, I would never play Lancer. That's just never going to happen.
I would definitely play Lancer.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I know. So we always talk
about every day. It's a great burden for me to not jump online and spend $200 on Lancer books. God, every day. I'm like Atlas, you know, lifting the earth to not buy Lancer on any given day.
Yeah, that would never work for me. On the other hand, I'm pretty good at playing lighter story game type experiences.
Yeah, and for sure. Like Into the Outer or Cairn, I'd love to be a player in a game for those systems. Now, you are Mr. Cairn. You have written the game Cairn. Yeah. Let me ask you, you know, how cool would you be to sit back and let other people run their interpretation of Cairn? Would that be burdensome for you to be like, no, that's not how you use will saves? Like,
I mean, yes, it would, because last Sunday I ran a game for a bunch of people, including friend of the show, Lex Mandrake, who recently ran an AP with Cairn that I was messaging him saying, you're not using.
Yeah, he ran. It was my adventure. He ran Fabian's Atelier. That was fun to watch.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned this to him while we were playing, and I said, I'm going to show you how to use willpower. And his point was, I know how to use it. I want to use it my way. And all right, dude, that's, you know what? rulings over rules or whatever. That's fine.
That's right.
But it would drive me crazy. Now, if they were trying to go for the interpretation as written, then I'd be fine with it. Like, oh, you know, and sometimes it is just a ruling. Like, I don't know. Like someone asked me the other day, how would you rule this one scenario? And I gave like three different options. He was like, that's not consistent. Uh-huh. And I said, well, you just have to be consistent after that. It's
that's
not
the
always
point, dude.
And specifically it was if you threw sand in someone's face to make it so that they were impaired during combat, would they have to make a dex save to pick up the sand and throw it? Or would they just be able to do it? And the thing is, I can usually answer that question pretty quickly in context, but then later I have to think, well, was that the right thing? You know, and that's fine. I enjoy that. The rulings are the point. But I also appreciate people running things as they like. You know, who am I to say?
There we go.
But willpower objectively is not knowledge or perception. Lex, if you're listening, that's not what it means. That's not what
we
it means.
Call out.
Add intelligence. Add wisdom.
Rulings over rules, buddy.
Will, it's like saying I'm going to use my dex save to combat this spiritual attack, which I guess I could see an argument there. It doesn't matter. Whatever. This is no longer
you
here
just
nor there.
Argued yourself into a corner here. I think you've proven yourself wrong. Mm-hmm. Anyway, shout out Lex Mandrake. Shout out Jordan's Jocular Junction. You can watch it. I'm doing a shout out here on YouTube.
Okay.
Playing your game, Mr. Cairn, playing my adventure.
Oh yeah,
Fabian's Atelier. Look at that. Here we go. We meet in the crossroads.
We do.
With YouTube.
Hey, we're going to Gen Con this year. Me and you.
We're gonna
be in the same physical meet space as they call it. Yeah. Should we be in a game together?
Yeah, I mean, I assumed we would play some kind of game together.
All right, all right. We hadn't discussed it. You know who else is going to be joining us?
Yeah, your boy, Sam Mamelli, Skullman, Skullboy.
Mr. Skullman himself. This should be interesting. All right, yeah.
I thought if we can finesse this and if Sam would be into it, I think one of us should run a Gamer Blast IRL, we should run some kind of classic baloney that the other two can scream about, you know? That's what I think.
Oh, man. Can you, if you ran Castle Amber, I would leave. I think I would leave. Just walk out of the room.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know. I've got a couple. There's a couple other I've dog-eared. I'm like, this might be a good one.
The problem is we would have to be one we haven't reviewed because we all know
them. Let's talk about it. I think it's we're just making hangout plans on a podcast. We are.
Yeah, I think people will be interested to hear that recorded. They've asked for it.
Hey, man, you know what else we should do while we're there? Oh, man. We should get some lunch.
No. Now you're some just lunch? Being silly.
Now let's talk about where we should go for lunch.
No. All right.
Let's figure it out right now. Okay. Let's take everyone's time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Your point is made.
Hey, gentle listener, are you going to Gen Con too? Drop us a line. Say, hey, let us know. And there you go. That's how you do listener engagement. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Building a community.
Okay. Let's move on to our review of The Tomb of the Sea Kings.
You know that song, The Sea King by Hawkwind? Are you a Hawkwind guy?
I am familiar with them. I do not know that song, but yes, I am familiar with them.
Sometimes I'm worried that you don't like Hawkwind as much as you should, I think. I think you should check out Hawkwind. I think that's Chronicle of the Black Sword. You can hear a song about the Sea Kings. I think it's one of those Elric's. They have a lot of songs that we're just talking about.
They're very Melina Borne inspired, yes, definitely. Which is apt for this module, I think. So why don't we pivot into our review of The Tomb of the Sea Kings. All right, so this was written by Lawson Bennett with Jim Johnson. Lawson Bloodmaster Bennett. This was edited by Jim Johnson and proofread by Nathan Jennings. I believe Jim Johnson also did the layout. It's kind of unclear to me. Mm-hmm. The art is by Jill Bennett, Lawson Bennett, Mitch Crawford, Jorge Molina, and Bill Lackey, who did the cover. And the maps are Jim Johnson. The publisher is The Scribes of Sparn. And the format I have it is from Lulu. It's a 32-page statement-sized zine. The system it is written for is technically Planet Eris Booklet 1 House Rules, but it is so supposedly compatible with classic OD&D.
Yeah, it feels like
first edition, original, basic, advanced. I'm just reading what it says here. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. It's if you know BX, none of this will confuse you. Oh, I forgot to mention that this came out in 2014. Yeah. It's part of that same, we always call it mid-OSR. I don't know how accurate that is.
I don't say that.
It's definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I always call it that. You say that. To me, it's because the old OSR never existed. So mid-OSR was like the first attempt. I don't know. But we've also read a Scribes of Sparn related adventure before. It was the...
The castle that fell from the sky.
That's right. We had Gus L for that. And I hated that one. And this one commits some similar... You know, you got a lot of gypsies in this
one. Yeah, Let me tell you, unnecessary.
It's like, what is this? There aren't even gypsies. They're just gypsy charms. Yeah, like everywhere. What?
Yeah.
It's very weird. Anyways, what is this module all about?
Well, it's a good old fashioned dungeon crawl. This is a site based adventure module. The setup is an archaeologist. A mysterious scholar named Nap Telfor has approached the PCs because he is researching some ruins and he's found a portal to a dungeon that was once the home of a great conqueror sea king named Faltor Pan. Okay. We'll speak more to that later.
No relation.
Well, so speak more to that later. And this mysterious scholar, Nap Telfor, has requested the PCs recover a fabled sword from this dungeon. And they can keep anything else they find there. So in you go. Players go into this dungeon, and it is a completely absurd funhouse. Two levels, I think something like 40-something rooms or something, around 50 rooms. And that's it. That's the dungeon. That's the adventure. It is opening doors and seeing what kind of insanity is inside.
How much of a non-deep dive section do we really need here?
Yeah, I don't think we need to. I think let's give our quick hot take on this. Quick, and then we'll deep dive it, okay?
Yeah, sure. You start.
Okay, this module is dumb. All right, this is capital D dumb, and I mean that lovingly. This is total dumb encounter design, like absurd nonsense behind every room. Just nonsensical funhouse. There's a lot that I like about this. First of all, I just want to step back a second. And I want to address it as a book, okay? I can't say enough good things about the design, aesthetic, and art of this thing. The art looks like it was done in a middle schooler's notebook. This is I can't believe that this is art in a book. Like, this is wild to me. Let's just look at the cover and get an idea. The cover is the best illustration, but we're not that... not by much. All right, I love it. All right, if people like, I wish that more people were drawing this kind of art in their adventure modules. I don't think we need to hold ourselves to this professional standard that a lot of work holds themselves to. Not to say that I don't love art and good artists. I love art. I love working with good artists. I love art that's beautiful. But this has a really raw charm to it. And I do think some of it really, I think, captures me in a deeper level, like down to the next level illustration is just like a illustration of stairs going into a dark hole. I'm like, why would you illustrate this? And it's a whole page. Like, I don't know, man. I just look at this and the scratchy charm of this like middle school level illustration, like really sings to my soul. And I love it. I like unironically love all the art in this book. It is bonkers. I think folks take inspiration from this. You can draw. Look at this skeleton king. You can draw that. I love it. Yeah, this is such a silly fun house. I feel it really funny making you read this right after you hated Castle Amber, because this is everything you hated about Castle Amber. Take it to the next level, yokai. Like, the encounters don't make any sense. Nothing makes sense. I think like the more outlandish adventure or encounters here are really fun and fantastic to me, and I kind of love them. And then I think there's a bunch of encounters that are totally flat and kind of boring, where it's just a guy waiting to attack you. So I wish there's a little more consistency. I think universally the NPCs in this are all awful. It's just like, oh, there's a wizard here and he wants to kill you. And it's like, why? And sometimes it's a fun creative prompt to like justify this. But in this case, like, I can't. Like, I don't know why the wizard is living next door to a vampire, but... What, like, nothing makes sense about this. I don't know if you can enjoy the kind of encounter where you open a door and there is a lake and there is a giant eagle's foot hanging over the lake and it's holding a giant pearl and the lake is full of giant evil fish that want to eat you. And when you take the pearl out of the eagle's claw, then the eagle's claws whizzes around the room trying to scratch your head off. Then you will like this. This has encounters like I've never thought of or seen before. And I can't help but kind of love that. But it's not traditionally good. It's not traditionally good. I think it's too linear. I think, the NPCs are really flat. There's really no hooks to get you to want to like engage with any kind of story or anything. This is really open the doors and see what's in it. This is not for everyone. Part of me really likes stuff like this. Part of me like thinks I can fix her. Part of it is just you can't. I don't think you can resuscitate it. Some of it is just not great design. And yeah, and I think that's where I'm at. Tell me what you think. I'm so interested to hear you, Kai. What do you think about this one?
All right. So the problem is most of my comments are in deep dive, mm-hmm. but I'll give you a brief summary. Yeah. I like this a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I don't think you were wrong to... I think the art is what did it for me. The art and the maps. Let me say a couple of things. The setup is extremely confusing. the essentially, and this is not spoilery, there was this like supposed, you know, immortal sea serpent that stole a bunch of dead kings' souls. And it's just like, there's like an island chain where each island is ruled by a different king. Very cool. This creature steals all their souls and then tries to use their souls as kind of barter to get someone to bring it this sword that it wants. Okay. I guess you do have to deep dive for this. It makes no sense given the setup that happens after. It's very confusing. We'll talk about that in deep dive. Uh-huh. But I had to read the first four pages like three times to try to wrap my head around what was going on. Then the maps are in the middle of the book, which is not very useful because you don't really know what you're... I had to like keep going back and forth to making sure... And I want to say something. Uh-huh. I love the maps.
Yeah.
I think the maps are great. I think the maps like are not... Like to every map today has to be properly jacquezed and has to have loops. Uh-huh. This thing, it doesn't care. No, it's a tomb. Explore it. You got these different sections. They make sense on a level. I really like the first level.
I wish I had more stairs. I wish I had more ways to get up and down. There's just one way to get down and there's one path to get down.
Yeah, I agree. You know? It's a little deep divey, but I agree.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I really did enjoy just the way that that it looks like. It when I would visualize what was written, it made sense on the page, which to me is a big win. The introduction has this platform that the party goes uh-huh. down on, but it's introduced through dialogue, and then the actual GM information is presented outside of this box text. And I was really confused. I thought that when it starts, they were in a totally different place. They were still at this dig site uh-huh. and not in the dungeon. So I think the setup in the very beginning is super confusing.
Yeah.
And then there are some scenarios that I really want to complain about in deep dive. Overall, I would never run this. I didn't like it. I wouldn't use any aspect of it except for maybe one thing that I thought was really cool, which I'll mention. But the thing that makes this salvageable in my mind are the completely genuine illustrations.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I'm 15 and you're my only friend who can draw. Can you draw my monsters? That's what it feels like.
It's so good.
It has a very... It's great. I love the drawings. Some of them are genuinely good.
There are some good ones.
And others are just charming. Yeah. So that's uh-huh. my opinion. I didn't like it. Uh-huh. The art and maps kind of won me over in terms of appreciating it. I have a lot of problems, so let's just switch in the deep dive and talk about them.
Yeah. Deep dive.
Okay. So a deep dive for the Tomb of the Sea King uh-huh. starting now.
Deep dive. Spoilers.
The first thing is, so this guy is like a wizard with a very clever name. He's changed to, you know.
We got to reveal.
Sorry. What's really going on, Brad? Okay. Please.
Listener, I hope you're sitting down for this, all right? Because I'm about to give you the shock of your life. The mysterious scholar, Nap Talfor, is in fact the Sorcerer King. Are you ready for it? Feltor Pan. Nap Talfor is Feltor Pan. Can you believe that? It's not... I know Nap and Pan are the same word backwards, and then Feltor and... Look, there's really no way to know. There's really no way to know that. But yeah, he betrays you when you bring the sword back, and the sword is like an evil... you know, it's kind of like a Elric kind of soul drinker kind of thing.
So the problem is you've got this... supposed sea serpent creature that's also a wizard that wants this sword. The sword is in the tomb he put the kings in. I don't understand. If he made the tomb, why? Or is like, was it always in there and he stole their souls and their souls are elsewhere? What the hell is going on with these tombs?
And like, even the setup where it's like, there are islands and they each had a sorcerer king and then this one sea king. Like, there's all this setup and it immediately doesn't matter because they are barely mentioned and it's not really like sea themed. There's really like there's a whole page of background and I'm like, wait a second, did any of that matter? I don't think so. Like we get into, there's like a skeleton king. There's like some ghosts. I guess those are sea kings. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Right. And so I was very confused from the get go, yeah. But then there's this platform where you go down and it's a 5-pointed star. Uh-huh. And if you try to open a door, it turns you to stone or something. Yeah. But if you go into the main door, there are these guards there and they ask you a question. And if you don't answer right, they shoot magic missiles out of their eyes. I'm not really sure how you were supposed to know that the PCs are supposed to pay their respects, like say that they're there to pay their respects. Like I just, it's very much a trap without multiple solutions.
Yeah.
There's like no way to get around it. Uh-huh. Right. That was, I thought, very bad, very bad. Then you go in and it gets a little better. There's a stream that has these coins in it. And if you throw a coin in it, it hardens for a second. I thought that was awesome.
That was cool.
I'm a big fan of the stream coin scenario. Totally going to use that. It's great. It's great. You can walk across if you throw a coin. Yeah. Then there's this random magic user who just lives down there. But why does he live there? What is he doing?
Yeah. And like, I feel like another weird problem with this module is that there's all these secret doors, but the secret doors are almost never hiding anything useful or interesting.
Oh, they hide empty rooms.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like the wizard, he's just behind an unlocked door just chilling, but if he hears you coming in, he'll just turn invisible and try to kill you. But then like next to his room, he's got a secret door where there's just a zombie chained to a table. And it's like, maybe like, why are you hiding your zombie room, but you yourself are just chilling in an unlocked room next to the vampire's room? Like, and it's just like, I don't know. It's, this stuff doesn't make sense. And that's maybe unfair to expect a module like this to like, quote, make sense, you know?
Look, you can be wacky and not make sense. Like, that's perfectly fine with me. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I got more to say. You've got all this gypsy stuff all over the place, which I, whatever, call it, just remove the word gypsy and it will still be a charm. Like, I don't understand why that's there, but it's 2014 and I'm, you know, these are the kind of people that make this kind of stuff at that time. So whatever. Then they've got this like sarcophagi trap with these three sarcophagi that are like have false keys.
Yeah, I like that.
I actually don't mind it as a trap, but the way they describe it was so, it's like three separate rooms are involved and the text is not overly the text is not bad, but one sentence just say, hey, so these three sarcophagi, the keys don't work. They're actually hanging in a room next door. But one of the keys doesn't reach all the way.
Yeah.
You actually have to take it to a different room. Like, it just felt like it was just, why are you taking me on this journey for this trap?
Right.
It's just overly,
it's like,
overbaked.
It's one encounter that's spread between three rooms, but they address it as like a room by room basis when really they should have maybe addressed it as an encounter basis. And
Agreed. Not a bad trap, just badly written.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Hall of Crying Angels that if you have to save against turning chaotic?
That's one of my least favorites. It's like the only way to get downstairs is you got to go past these crying angel statues. And if you go past them, you make a saving throw or your alignment changes to chaos. And you take damage, like brain, you know, the shock gives you brain damage also. And it's like, I don't know. Like, on one hand, this is for level 5 and up characters. I don't disagree that with higher or mid to high level D&D characters, you can kind of put some seemingly impossible tasks because characters are coming in with some other tools in their toolbox. You know, like a wizard's got a lot of tricks up its sleeve. A cleric can do a bunch of different stuff. But something like this, I just don't get how you would subvert that, or I don't know what else you would do with that other than just like, oh, screw you, you're all chaotic now. It's just, it feels like, I think a lot of this module feels like a very antagonistic kind of style. Like it's very adversarial, where, you know, players try something and it punishes them. And I think that's kind of the fun of it. It feels like watching Jackass, you know, it's like, get a load of this. Let's see how these guys hurt themselves in like in increasingly fun and funny ways. But, you know, as like a game, when it's something like that, I just don't see the fun in this thing where it's like, oh, when you go through this room, it's going to change your character and it's going to hurt you and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm kind of left scratching my head. I'm like, who is this for? I don't really get it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that's, I'm taking that as granted here. That's the kind of adventure this is. It's monsters waiting in rooms to kill you, and there's no interaction. The cult on the second level is actually kind of interesting. They make no sense. Yeah. Like, no sense. Why are they there to worship the snake god when they also have, like, a heart with a dagger in it that makes one of the heads not work? Why? What happened there?
It's funny, too, that there's some rooms, like, you cannot explain. It does not make sense why, and like this, like I said, the Eagle's Claw room, which is one of my favorites just because it's so outlandish. I just love, like, this weird, like, surrealist nightmare of, like, an eagle's claw is coming through the ceiling. Like, it's so strange. But then, like, there are rooms that seem to support realistic kind of characters. Like, there's all this stuff in level one about cremation. Like, here's where you prepare the bodies. Here's where you, like, take the ashes. It's funny that there's, like, a level of realism around certain processes, and then immediately some of it just gets thrown out the window for nonsense next door. You know, it's really inconsistent with that tone. Again, I don't know if that's a bad thing with this. It's just really all over the place, and that's, I think, kind of the charm of it. But it does make me scratch my head a lot.
Do you think that the kind of end result where you get this sword and only people who are chaotic can pick it up, that there's just some, maybe the bigger theme here is that it's supposed to be a place that punishes punishes lawful characters as much as possible. And that's, there is like a greater theme here, or do you think it's just random vampires and, you know, reverse cultists or whatever, reverse clerics, what do they call them?
Anti-clerics. Yeah. No, I mean, that seems to be true. I mean, like, level two is pure chaos, and, you know, the chaos sword is there. Like, I suppose there is a meta textual thread of, like, you're descending into chaos and only chaos can dwell here, and you must become the chaos to take chaos out of this place. I'm a little more okay with that after you said that. I kind of balk against, alignment change, like forced alignment change stuff. It always feels like weird, and I don't know, it just never feels fun. Like, guess what, you're evil now, you have to pretend to be evil now. I'm like, okay, I don't know, it's just I don't jive with that, I guess. I do appreciate, like, the, you know, again, like the level of silliness and inventiveness some of these encounters get, I think, though, is kind of inspiring. Like, you can really go for it, you know, like I think my favorite one is the rotoscope room or something like that. There's a room where you find all these 3D glasses. There's just like a big table of 3D glasses on them. And then the next room is this large circular room and has like these slits in the wall, and there's a crank in the middle. If you turn the crank, like, light flits through these slits, and it's kind of like an image will appear, and it's the image of like this giant dragon attacking you. And if you're wearing the 3D glasses that you saw before, you see the 3D dragon, and it's just an illusion. But if you're not wearing the glasses, you can't see the dragon. It's just like light is flashing and an invisible force assaults you. And I don't know, that just feels like really like, what? Like, what am I reading? I think that's kind of great, though. It's just so outlandish, so weird. I don't know what inspired this, but it is kind of like deeply weird, inspired kind of stuff that, stuff like this makes me want to run this. Like, it's such a silly, outlandish adventure. It really just feels like, you know, the sort of adventure, you know, if this was a TV show, it would have like frequent replays of the contestants of this, like wiping out and getting hit in the crotch and falling into the lake. You know what I mean? It's like, this is meant to punish people and laugh at the punishment that's dished out. It's like a get a load of this cam, you know. That feels fun to me, but it's like a very specific kind of fun that I wouldn't want to just dump into a campaign.
Yeah, exactly. This is very much another one of those kind of convention games that I just don't care about. I'm glad it exists. I think it's got cute art, and I really like the maps. Yeah. But yeah, I don't really have much else to say about it. I didn't think it was very good otherwise.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, good isn't always good, you know, and bad is sometimes not always bad. And I feel like this is kind of like, you know, a movie that...
This is pretty mid, as the kids would say.
You think it's mid? Okay, here's the thing. I watched the, what's that Marvel movie with the, it's like The Eternals? Is that the one? The Eternals? Not, I wouldn't call that a traditionally good movie, right? Did you see that one? Yeah. The Eternals?
No, I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen it.
But I was thinking this, if I had never heard of The Eternals before, all right, and I was like sick at home, and it was like 11 at night, and I couldn't sleep, and I turn on, you know, I have like antenna television, and I don't know if anyone out there has antenna on their television and watch some of the channels that you get on an antenna, but there are really strange channels that I get, and there's like some movie channels that are antenna only. And I was like, man, if I had never heard of this movie and I put this on at like 11 at night and it had commercials and it was clearly edited for TV, I think I would love this. it's not a movie that was good as a movie, but I think as something, if I expected something bad, then I think I would be very rewarded. And I feel like that's what this is. I feel like if I went in expecting pulpy trash, I think I would be really rewarded with this. I think it's fun. I think there's fun here, but I think you got to really come in with the right mindset. It's a very long explanation.
In the right mood.
Yeah.
You think this is good.
Oh yeah.
That's what you're trying to say.
I think it's in the right mood. This is very good. Yeah.
Okay. I don't agree.
Yeah.
But
that's how it goes sometimes. That's how it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
So, yep.
That's the way of the world.
Well, this has been Between Two Karens. You can find us at betweentwokarens@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Karen Discord server under the Between Two Karens channel. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/betweentwokarens. There is a spoiler bumper by Bobby McKelver and a spoiler bumper by Direct Sun, and the music is by Bobby. And we are appreciative of all those things that I just listed.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with a special guest to review something I would say probably not very well known. I'd say, a zine that's not particularly well known, but I'm looking forward to reading. And our guest is also very cool. So...
A little teaser here.
Stick to your podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Goodbye.
And
thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite, y'all. You know. Mm-hmm. And really hope you don't have bed bugs. I've never had bed bugs, and that's something I think about a lot when I go to Airbnbs. Yeah. If I'm gonna get bed bugs, you ever worry about that? You ever had bed bugs?
Yeah, I live in the East Coast. Of course I worry about
it. You ever had them in your house? Maybe you don't want to say.
Oh, no. Not in my house. I did find a mattress on the street once
and
carried it home.
Oh, no, dude. Don't do that.
Yeah, I did. I carried it home through this not great neighborhood. And
come on. Why are you doing this?
Children pelted me with rocks. I'm not kidding. This happened.
What?
This was in. I'm not going to say the city because I don't think people will believe me. But it was in California, and these children thought it was very funny to throw rocks at me while I was carrying a mattress. But hey, it was a new mattress, and I definitely should not have done that. I was 20, maybe living on my own. Yeah,
I might take a mattress when I was 20.
Things you do.
Yeah.
Well. Anyways. Wow. Okay.
Well,
goodbye.
Yeah, bye. Mm-hmm. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Did I
you
say
said
that?
You said that already. You did. Yep.
Did
you
that?
Said it already.
Right. Well, I've never had bed really bugs necessary. Personally. It's something I worry about when I go on vacation.
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Good night. Sleep tight.
Don't Don't say it again.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. You ever worry about that? You ever worry about that when you go out?
No, you go no, now somewhere? It's not. It's objectively
all
not
right,
funny.
I'm all done. I'm all done. All
right. Too many times.
All right. Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Bye.